As in, have we confirmed he's alive?
Yeah. Not since he left for Grand Canyon. No, we had a very serious talk about joking at the Grand Canyon.
Okay,
good. We know about the guy who pretended to fall, then right?
Are you aware of the book Death in Grand Canyon? It's a thick, thick book that is nothing but stupid deaths in Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it's a big book they sell at the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
Yeah, and they really... A thing that I did not realize until...
Yeah, the dad who tried to fall over to scare his kids and then fell in and died. Yeah, he's the best one.
Also, a lot of... I do appreciate, though, that, like, in the western part of the United States, all the national parks don't fuck around. They don't care about you at all. Like, mm-hmm. if you go to, like, Moab or something, or Arches, it'll be like, there's, like, a 400-foot drop. Is there a barrier? No.
Nope.
No.
You just figure it out.
Why? Because it's nature. It's nature, bitch.
If we put a guardrail there, it would disturb a bird, and that bird is more important than you.
I think it's a real testament to the human spirit that we can come upon the Grand Canyon and be like, look what nature hath wrought. Look at this incredible death pit that the earth spat up. And we're like, you know what I'm going to do? Pranks. I'm going to do some pranks around this thing because that's how supreme our species is on the ladder, baby.
This feeds into my theory that there aren't more handrails in the national parks, especially in the West, because that's where we feed the old ones.
This is why we can't actually start colonizing Mars, because people will go and they'll start fucking around. Like, it's not like people will go and be God. Like,
no, they would pull people's oxygen hoses out for fun.
That's 100%.
I would do that.
You can't put handrails at Mars because we will grind them on our skateboards.
That's right. Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely.
If you could casually go to the moon,
counterpoint.
If you could casually go to the moon, 10 people would die every year.
But is that not worth it for low-grav skateboarding?
That's what I'm saying.
These are the trade-offs.
I mean, how many people die in car accidents every year? We're fine with it.
Exactly. Why can we drive cars but we can't drive to Mars? Huh? That's
the actual answer. The actual answer is that enough people have to want to do this. Just have to want to.
Jason, I don't know.
I want to know.
Just have to want to.
Do we have a lot of the only exception I can see to prank environments is low oxygen environments? Because as far as I know, I know a lot about people who have died on Everest. And I'm pretty sure once you get past 25,000 feet, nobody's pranking. No, there are no more pranks.
Yes, but that's because it's so much work to get there. If there was a gondola that would take you up to 20,000 feet on K2 or whatever, then you'd be like, all right, it's time for some TikTok dances.
Wait, Jane, have you heard
Ascension? I would kill them for their own good. I just want to be clear here. You said gondola up K2, and I became filled with rage. I don't even know what to do right now. I am like,
the speeches made by the poor teen working the door. Please keep your hands and arms and sons. Please do not litter on the face of God's creation.
The corpses you see littering the trail are real.
James, did you read Ascension?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. Don't.
Okay.
But just checking.
Is that the book that you've been telling people, you've been warning people away from it? Like it's an abandoned Catholic school or something?
I haven't been warning people like a habit. I put my first anti-recommendation ever in the newsletter.
Yeah.
But
what is it?
Okay. I'll spoil it on here. Look, just for the record, I thought I might be just cranky. And then I texted it to my best friend who's currently getting her PhD in, among other things, curriculum design for literature. And she was like, I fucking hated that thing. So I felt this is a book by a guy with the made up name of Nicholas Binge. That was a highly, highly recommended book to me and had a cool cover. So I took it on vacation last month. And it is a book about, it has a really cool concept that goes absolutely nowhere. Like, it's a waste of a really good idea. The conceit is that all of a sudden, one day in the middle of the Indian Ocean, there's this mountain that dwarfs Everest that literally wasn't there overnight. Mm-hmm. And it's about this, of course, there has to be an international team of, it's like an Emmerich movie. You know, there has to be an international team of the Russian scientist and the English physicist and the hot anthropologist. And, they have to be sent up. Anyway, the first team just dies. And so the book is about the second team. And the entire plot of the book turns, and I realized this with 80 pages to go, well before this happened, because I play too much Spelling Bee. The entire mm-hmm. plot turns upon one character's name being I Am Alien spelled backwards.
Oh, what a LucasArts point and click game. So, bullshit.
I realized this and I was reading it on my iPad and I almost threw my iPad in the ocean. I was so fucking angry. Oh,
there's nothing worse than being mad on a beach. Like being mad on a beach, especially at a book. We were looking around like, look at this beautiful fucking environment, and I'm reading this shit.
Magellan knows all about that shit.
Fuck this gecko. Like, I'm on a streak right now of books that are like highly lauded that I really disliked profoundly, but none of them made me physically angry like this one.
So is that character an alien? Because it'd be pretty good if they were. Because I think it's great if that's where they get you.
No, that's it. That's the whole thing. That's how the protagonist figures out who the bad guy is. He realizes his name is I Am Alien spelled backwards.
So it sounds like this person wanted to get caught. We get the fucking Riddler over here sending.
You can't be that mad at a dude who picked Nick Binge as his.
I looked him up because I wanted to make sure he's in English and stays over there. I'm pretty sure that's his real name. Also, they mysteriously were like, his first book was only released in the UK, and I was like, well, that's good, but the second one
too hot before, for America.
The second one
too
broke
spicy.
Quarantine, Nick.
I don't know. I just finished this book, The Kindly Ones, and it was
ooh,
great.
Ooh! Yes!
I love that book, but do you know what I love even more? This dude spent 5 years researching everything he needed to know. It's a book about the narrator is an SS officer, and he's everywhere. I can't even begin to explain it. Anyway, he spent 5 years researching this. He writes
like,
this book.
It's like World War II Forrest Gump, but good. Is that fair?
Yes. Yes, and okay. Forrest Gump was good, but also you weren't ready for.
Okay. Yeah, if Forrest Gump was good, but also like, dude who happens to have a front row seat to several major events of history.
Yes, he does. Right. So he writes this book. It's like 996 pages, and then he's like, "I'm good. I'm gonna go make this documentary now about something totally unrelated." I love the idea that you would write one book and be like, "Well, I think that's all I got. I'm good now."
Do you know who else did this? And it's one of the best books I've ever read. The dude who wrote Library at Mount Char is like a computer programmer from somewhere around here in Atlanta. Like he's from Mayretta or something. And he wrote this book that truly, like, it's one of those things that like the last quarter of the book, it turns into a different genre of book. And I will not spoil it for you because it's fucking incredible and you should all go read it. But, He's a computer programmer and he had this idea and he wrote this incredible book. And I went and looked online to see like what else he had written as soon as it was done. Cause I was like, this is incredible. And a friend had given it to me. I didn't know anything about the author. And I went and looked, I was like, oh, he has like five other books. Yeah. They're all like C++ books. They're all programming manuals. And then he wrote this. It was like, I'm good.
Is that twist a character is named I Am Computer?
No, it's incredibly violent. Other than that, if you're good with that, it really is one of the most incredible books I've read this century.
But do you know what we're gonna ask, Jason?
I was gonna ask if you've read the Russian sniper lady novel, Diamond Eye.
Ooh,
I have not. I'm basically
catching up on a lady who shoots a bunch of guys. So
I mean, that sounds, as you know,
up several of our alleys.
Huge supporter of women shooting people, specifically Nazis, ideally, unless it's like the Russo-Finnish war, in Nazis, which I'm like, you just go nuts over there.
Every woman should get 2 kills a year, no questions asked.
If they're Nazis, make it 2,000. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really. But especially because I do appreciate that there was like this period in which the Soviet Union, which was fucked up in every possible way, but their one thing was like, we think women can kill people effectively. And if you have ever been a woman or known women, you'd be like, yeah. But Jason, I'm very much looking forward to discussing your excellent novel on 420.
Which you should not quit after writing.
No.
That's a great sentence you've just said, Jane. I'm glad you've said it. Thank you for saying it.
I will be in discussion
speaking of books
with
we
you.
Fucking hate.
This piece of shit. No, I'm looking forward to discussing your book at a church in Ann Arbor on 420 with our good friend Ace Anbender. I believe that there was fellowship involved, and I haven't attended a fellowship. There better be punch. Someone had better fellowship. There has to be punch, and it better
okay,
be
so
that like.
There will be beers, but as far as like that knockoff high C and store brand Sprite combo,
come
we
on.
Need that as well. With
yeah,
like,
it
there's
has
a piece
be...
of fruit floating around in it.
You got the punch ring, the frozen punch ring.
You gotta combine that like country time lemonade.
Miles, if you're listening, we need shortbread cookies. Okay, we need gross shortbread cookies.
It's an emergency. a fruit plate would be good, but it doesn't need to be good because they never are. It just would really help me feel the moment, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We, folks, we have convened Jane and I, who, that alone is an ecumenical council. You add in Ace and you add in the local Episcopalians. That is everything. That is just about everything right there.
Yep, yep.
In addition to everyone who should. Jane. We had to send out ebooks to everyone who's bought tickets because they're all like, well, we have to do the reading beforehand. They're being incredibly Big Ten about it. So I just figured you'd be proud to hear that.
Fucking nerds. Fucking nerds.
They were like, I was detecting that they were getting like antsy about you mean we're going to be at an event that we haven't done the reading for? So.
It's April 2nd. By the time this comes out, your time is ticking. If you haven't gotten around to reading the book, Venmo me $5 and I'll write some Cliff Notes for you.
If you want to fuck with one of your friends, Venmo me and I will write fake ones for them.
Ooh.
Yeah, all right. Well, psychological warfare.
As
we'll
Holly
expose
knows.
The Michigan State fans that way.
Well, we announced the charity bowl today. It's time for me to start raising money.
Yeah. As Holly knows, there's nothing more erotic than doing the reading. It's the hottest thing you can possibly do.
Oh, God, nothing.
Especially if it's about audio adrenaline.
You know, I've always said that, you know, if you mention enough Christian pop punk, that gets everybody going. It got everybody going. I don't know, like, we'll talk a lot at the event about, like, general youth group behavior. But I don't know if we've talked about this, but like one of my favorite random things about youth group is that like occasionally extremely horny things take place in youth group environments. But
occasionally,
but like I remember when I was in high school, my freshman year, you know, with all these people who were pledging themselves for marriage, there was some game where you basically sit in each other's laps. And are like, I love you, baby, but I can't smile. And like the first person to smile.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, you just feel each other up. And even then, I remember being like, huh.
Yeah, there's like so much.
It's a tickling game.
The adults who put this shit on are just oblivious and clueless. Like you have a 4-hour sermon about like, don't touch each other. And then you go to the fucking lock-in where you all lay under blankets and you have to identify each other by fumbling around under the blankets. And whoever can... And there's so many games like that.
There are so many games. Also, I mean, church lock-in, I remember two things took place. We played that game, and we watched The Matrix, which...
Yes, because it's about Jesus.
Uh-huh. There's a Christ metaphor there. There are a lot of metaphors there.
Did you notice it? Did you, the youth pastor, did you happen to notice it? You noticed it, right? Please tell me you noticed it. We'll watch it again.
Yeah,
What is the biggest stretch you think you could pull off to say this is actually a movie about Jesus?
Fucking name the movie.
Yeah, this is Jason's calisthenics to it. Chicken Run.
Boogie Nights. I could do it.
I haven't seen Chicken Run. Boogie Nights. So, I mean, it's a young man who has a very special body. And his body his body is broken.
Yeah.
There's a big piece of wood. What?
Yep. The wage of sin is death. It
sure.
is. It is. Mm-hmm.
Point Break.
There's.
Peter went surfing, right?
Yeah.
Surfing is walking on water when you think about it.
I mean, he tried to walk, but he ended up surfing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, they're really, I'm trying and failing to think of a movie that I could not wedge in some vague allusion to Christian theology. Hitsy. I was trying to think. Nope. I think pretty much all of them.
Okay. Cool.
Now wait.
I'll just go to
Starship
Letterboxd.
Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, you could take it at face value, right? And it's about demons, right? So you could do that, and that you know, it's spiritual warfare. Any movie about war, I guarantee a youth pastor, especially if they're you know, some dude, they can very easily say, "Oh, see that bad guy? That's Satan." Mm-hmm. That's it. But if you view it as like satire, then it's like, oh, well, okay, this is about Christian nationalism, right? Mm-hmm. So like on surface level, anything with guns or swords, that's
easy pickings.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Like Godzilla versus Kong. Okay. They're going to give you that. They're going to say like, oh, well, that's your sinful nature. That's your flesh versus your spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's one. Freaky Friday.
So there comes a moment in a young person's life when they leave behind childish things and they become an adult, as the Apostle Paul told
and
us.
Sometimes
it happens just like that.
And the young person rejects their family, like Lindsay Lohan wants to do, but at the end, would you not say that
the prodigal son returns
and is given the fatted calf? You could say that.
Yeah. At my church, we actually teach from nothing but Lindsay Lohan movies, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, sure.
Mean Girls, of course, is about
I actually watched that in a class in Catholic school. We watched Mean Girls in a senior year religion class. We watched Mean Girls. Now, my theory is that it was because it was April of our senior year. And as you know, after like April 1st, no one does anything. No one cares. But I believe the nun who, I cannot remember her last name, but if you attended Ursuline Academy in the early 2000s in Cincinnati, Ohio, please remind me of her name. She was really nice. And she just was like, I think this is a nice movie that has a nice message. And I'm like, sure. We also watched Hannah and Her Sisters in a philosophy class. Now that I've been trying to figure out why we watched that for the last like 20 years, and I still don't know.
Teacher was tired.
Yeah.
A lot got done. A lot got done, at least.
Yeah, a lot happened.
So at this Ann Arbor event, we still have a few tickets available. Your ticket comes with a copy of the book, and you know there will be lots of hanging out, and I will try to make sure the menu is accurate and appropriate.
Yep.
In addition to the beers we're allowed to drink at church.
I mean, these are Episcopalians, so I assume they have no rules at all.
Yeah, as I understand, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just...
They were like, listen, it's 420, but please don't smoke weed inside the building.
Like, for once, you know, try to restrain yourselves.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. You know, bringing the gospel to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where we've already seen the mountaintop. So, you know, we basically had the transfiguration experience. So we're all good. Yeah. Did you not think I was going to bring this up, Ryan? Come on.
Hey, no, Ryan,
I knew, but
Jane's alma mater is the current college football champion. I don't know if that's been
covered. Details.
This has weirdly actually made them easier to live with.
It's true. Y'all can't do the woe is me, everything's going wrong stuff for at least a few more months.
They pulled a handbrake turn on the Clemson path. And we're just... I'm sorry, server. I keep forgetting, I swear.
It's totally okay.
I was listening to an old Hand in the Dirt this morning because I was looking for... You ever have trouble explaining Hand in the Dirt, like what it's really like to people?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Usually I have to play one of... I was looking for one of my favorite segments to people, which is the segment where you and Hartzell are trying to bully Felder into using a mouse.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean,
it gets really dark and personal, and like before it's over, Felder's like, yeah, I think I have an eating disorder, and so I was going...
Wow.
Anyway, I was... No, really, this is all in one episode. This is one part of one episode.
This is a lot of character development.
It's like the August 30th episode. Listen, if y'all don't listen to him, there's a reason I keep saying, as somebody who makes part of their living on a podcast, that Hand in the Dirt is the best podcast. But there's this segment. I found the segment, and I was listening to the earlier part of the episode, and they brought up the Clemson West Virginia Orange Bowl, the first one, and I was like, why are they apologizing to Cerber? Like, I always forget, and it's a compliment to you that I always forget you like Clemson because you're such a nice person.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hide it very well. I'm a Clemson fan. We all know I'm awful inside. Like, I am terrible inside.
Oh,
but I do.
Buddy, do you think I don't relate to this?
But we are both theater kids, and so I appreciate your recognition of my strong performance.
Listen, I just got through two Tennessee teams doing deep runs into the tournament. I've had to explain a lot of things to people.
You've been doing great too. Let's give Holly your props as well. You've been doing very well.
I've been doing great because I've been home alone and screaming at the walls.
For some reason, Ryan has not been loud or boisterous or anything about college sports. I don't know why, but I mean, good job for you too, Ryan.
Now it's time for me to be worse about college baseball, which is awesome.
Oh,
softball. Tennessee's on a run of being good at several sports, and no one is handling it well. No one.
Of course not. No.
Jane, do you know how not well we're handling it? I went on We're Not All Like This with Ryan, and we went through the entire thing of who is your most hated figure, and I forgot about Charles Woodson.
What?
Yeah, I didn't mention him.
Charles Woodson is forgiven.
He did not cross my mind.
That's how back Michigan is.
But, I mean, you know, there was a lot of time he crossed the backfield and got interceptions, which is why he won a Heisman over Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. That's how that happens.
Jane, you might be the first person to say that on this show.
I
acknowledge that particular Heisman.
I like bringing it up, but it's been actually great because Michigan basketball has been complete shit. But everybody's like, it's cool. You know, we'll worry about that later. Like, the women were good. They made the tournament. They did their thing. And
hockey's in the Frozen Four.
But okay. Hockey made it to the Frozen Four, which is great. However, playoff college hockey is the worst thing that's ever happened. It is the closest to death as you will possibly get in a sporting environment. Like, it is awful. There was a Michigan played, I think, like North Dakota State in the Frozen Four like 10 years ago. And the thing about like all of the big hockey schools is like half of them are like, like Cornell or Boston College, where they have other sports. And half of them are like, we have one sport. It's hockey. Everyone who plays it is secretly 40 and Swedish and like basically already plays for the Colorado Avalanche. And it's terrifying. So anyway, like a decade ago, Michigan gets to the Frozen Four with a goalie named Sean Hunwick, who in my memory was like 5'5". This is probably not true, but I firmly believe it to be true. And they won. And I walked out of my house I lived in at that time and thought, I'm glad we won, but I could not watch a title game or else I will die. Like, it genuinely, the Frozen Four, I would say, of like the tensest, like college hockey at its best is like the tensest college sport to watch because it feels like at any one time your life is over. Like, that's it. And
I don't understand. I feel like that all the time.
Yeah. But I think that's just like generalized anxiety disorder.
There was a Vault Twitter person I mentioned the other day. It was like, my stomach has hurt since about 7 o'clock last night. And I was like, that should be carved over the entrance to every athletic facility on campus.
Yeah. No, it,
how you doing? No, what's your cheer? My tummy hurts. Only angry.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? We're all like babies with an ear infection, and we can't do anything about it, so we're just yelling and rubbing the sides of our heads.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do to... There's nothing.
Volunteer athletics. It'll go away on its own.
There's nothing you can do to fix it. Pour a little olive oil in there. There's nothing you can do to fix it.
Maybe get some drops made out of something. No one really knows.
Mm-hmm. I say this like the softball team... I think it's where, like, the softball team, my dad is in a foul mood today because the softball team just had their 20-game win streak snapped by one game. It ruined his whole day.
I was thinking about this, not with college baseball or softball, but with like people who get really into, like, as you know, I don't really believe baseball is an actual sport. Like, you know, minds might disagree, but I just, you know, there's not enough abject violence for me. But I have a friend who's like, oh, you know, like Major League Baseball season allegedly has just begun, I hear. And I have a friend
who's like, you might tune in this year. There's some wild shit happening.
Well, until they get aluminum bats and a tackle policy, I'm out. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I think I think the batter should carry the bat.
Yes. And then hit the people on the way. And if you can't bring them down, mm-hmm. they get to keep going. I think that's, mm-hmm. I don't see why people aren't into this solution. But I have a friend who is like, you know, he's a huge Orioles fan, which is already like deadly.
Wow.
But he's just like, oh, you know, I'm already like, we have some winning record and I'm already like super mad. And I'm like, bro, it's April. You play for what, 1,000 games? I don't, baseball stamina is a different thing. Like college football, you can be like, I can handle that level of sustained anxiety because I can, it's between what, like September and then maybe early January if things all work out great. Like that's sustainable, but like the people
and it's spaced out. It's like once a week you have to feel this way.
Yeah,
baseball,
once a
it's
week.
Like, oh, you dropped 3 games between now and next Saturday. Oh, you're fucked.
It's 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, and I'm rage drinking.
Yeah, right.
Baseball sometimes is like, fuck, we lost 2 games today.
There would be. I used to live when I lived in D.C. I used to live like right next to Nationals ballpark. And there'd be doubleheaders because like a weather reschedule, and you'd just be like, oh, there's a baseball game today. There are two. You're gonna play 2 games right now. Today.
Yeah, it's the challenge of being a baseball fan is that you can get signals that it's gonna be bad early, but you are still technically on the hook for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're not like, if you're a college football fan and you're like, I hope we win the national title this year. Once your team loses 3 games, you're like, well, that's done.
Yep.
I don't have to worry about that shit anymore.
It's great.
With baseball, you're like, I don't know. Especially if you play in certain divisions, you're like, I don't know. We're only 15 games under 500, but the leader's 4 games under 500, so maybe we'll catch them.
Sounds exhausting.
I mean, we're in the AL Central. We're technically never eliminated.
And then there's like, there's always some, like, the Nationals won the World Series in 2019 after staging this, like,
did they really? That's wild.
Oh, yeah. That really happened.
What was I doing in 2019? Never mind.
Like,
I remember.
But the funniest part of that one, the fact that the people who own the Nationals want to sell the team, so they're like, that can never happen again. That was a big mistake. So one thing, like, there was this giant comeback after, like, the All-Star break. And the All-Star break comes sometime in the late summer that I don't remember.
It's that chunk of time where there's absolutely no sports, even if you want something to put on while you're folding laundry.
Yeah. You're leaning real hard on, like, I think that's around the time where I'm like, should I just start getting really into, like, rugby league played in New Zealand? Which sometimes
I
do.
Answer is Midsummer Murders Rewatch.
This is where ESPN smartly used to air Battle of the Gridiron Stars.
Yeah. Fortunately, 24 seasons of Midsummer Murders, so
plenty,
I can always go back.
Plenty to devour.
It's funny, now all these baseball people are like, oh, well, you know, we don't really know anything until the All-Star break. And I'm like, but it's fucking April. You've got like 5
That's
months.
So much data.
And then, now, the last couple of years, because of change to baseball's playoff and just like, because this is how sports are, now it's like, cool, you won 110 games, you're out in the first round. Fuck off, you're done.
You lost one. Bye.
You suck. At all.
You fucking waste. Get out of here.
Like, football has, you know, college football, I guess, in theory, has had the problem of like, well, there's so little data to go on. You know, most seasons you're only playing 12 games, and like, who knows who the best team is, blah, blah, blah. Lots of times you do, but I can understand how it gets tricky. Baseball is the opposite problem, where it's like, we have so much data, and you want us to keep playing this. We hate this.
Yeah.
And then they throw it all out. Yeah. They do all that just to set up a tournament.
And the previous
shit doesn't matter anymore.
Yes.
And then
the 182 games we did were just explaining the instructions. Now the game
tutorial.
Will
oh my god, this tutorial mode sucks. Every day it starts over at 1:05 Eastern.
Yeah.
Now war games can truly begin, Daddy.
This is like what trying to explain Twilight Imperium is. But like,
listen, I got that for my nephews for Christmas, and they are fucking furious.
It's the worst thing. I've walked.
There's a dragon in it. That's all I got.
I walked in on my friends playing it, and I was like, I would have rather walked in on you having sex. That would be more comfortable for me, more enjoyable for you.
It had a dragon in it.
It'd be over much quicker.
Like, oh, infinitely quicker.
Much less to explain.
But yeah, no, I do appreciate that baseball is now set up that everyone turns into the Marty Schottenheimer Chargers. Like, you're like, yeah, we won 14-2, and then you left immediately.
Nope, you get nothing.
But, no, it's a... It's also funny because I've been in LA. I'm teaching a class at USC, and the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani, who appears to have gotten himself out of this gambling scandal, which the first thing I heard about it, I was like, oh, honey. Oh, boy. Because it relied on, like, one, do not let the person who may have done the thing have 90 minutes with an ESPN reporter. Because whatever he says, like, you're going to need to take it all back, which happened immediately. And then that translator, like, I have not seen someone get thrown under the bus that quickly in a long time. And I do appreciate that so much of this is based on, like, oh, like, this translator who wasn't his friend, but who was his friend, took all this money, and then Shohei was like, oh, yo, I will pay the gambling people for you. The gambling people, it's illegal in California to be doing the sports betting, allegedly. And then they're like, actually, that didn't happen. None of that actually happened. We'll all move on. And it's super weird. It's the first time, I like baseball scandals. Like, I don't like baseball, yeah. But baseball scandals are fun.
But the problem is,
they all involve drugs or banging on things or like weird interpretations of rules or like massive cover-ups. I like that.
They're also really old-fashioned. Like, they involve like cartoonishly old-fashioned racism.
Yeah.
Like people getting called Spaniards as a slur.
Yeah.
Like people yelling old-fashioned racism while on the call during the game as the ball is flying out of the park.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, like, it, again, because baseball season is long and is steep.
Tennis is good for that too, I guess.
Like, baseball scandals all take forever. They either go away immediately, yeah, like this Ohtani thing seems to have been doing, or it's like, well, we will conduct our third hearing before Congress 5 years later, and now we will get to the... It's like there is no... The pace of it...
Yeah.
If you think the pace of baseball season is exhausting, the pace of a baseball scandal is just as exhausting.
Well, it's very NCAA.
The cultural resonance they have echoes forever, too. Like, this is all... This week is how I found out that people still get genuinely angry about Pete Rose, which baffles me.
Yeah. Oh. Look, that's a little bit because Pete Rose is an asshole.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, no, but I mean, like, in general, I'm like, is this not settled? Like, is this not adjudicated?
In what
sense? I mean, I'm not saying they're not allowed to have opinions. That Pete Rose is an asshole. I'm not saying people aren't allowed to have opinions. I'm saying people are getting, like, I didn't wake up this morning and get, like, actively angry about someone who wronged me 20 years ago. No, that does sound like me.
Wait, no,
I was gonna say there's definitely somebody in this category.
Like, would the corollary be like someone who got busted cheating at football 20 years ago and it didn't affect your team?
I mean, maybe there are people who are super mad about Reggie Bush still, but
no.
I don't know.
No, I think everyone seems to have come around.
Actually, I'm sure there are. But,
but like people are still really mad about the fifth down. Like, that shit's
no, we're not.
Okay. All right, maybe that's.
I find it objectionable, but entertaining.
Yeah, well, it's also funny because you go back. Like, there are a couple. I think my favorite football scandals are the ones that like Reggie Bush. I'm like, a lot of that's fun. Like all. There's a bunch of scandals that just seem are in the bucket of. Would have been handled by NIL / different era. Like,
right.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Right.
But then there's stuff like Art Schlichter, which I watched a lengthy YouTube video on. He was gambling, like, he was gambling on, like, greyhound racing, which already you're like, ooh, bad sign. But he was also, like, he was going to the track with Earl Bruce. Like, they were at the track at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Earl Bruce was like, I'm sure this is fine. Like, also that Art Schlichter's legal problems began in, like, high school, college, like, while he was at Ohio State, and have continued to today, because, like, last year he grifted some old, like, he grifted some old lady out of a bunch of money, and I was like, sir, that's, like, 40 years of criming, more than 40 years of criming. Like, now, well, see, now I'm upset, like, actually, I'm like, that's a good scandal, because it's, like, he was doing something that would have been bad then and is bad now. And also, he has just mm-hmm. continued to crime. Yeah. So much continued criming.
That's what they teach at Ohio State, I hear.
That's what I'm saying. That's all they do.
Down there.
Hotbed. Scum and villainy.
In that dump.
Yeah, I think people just think Pete Rose is tacky and annoying.
Yeah.
And, like, it's... like, talking about his... banned from baseball and the gambling and all that is a good way to channel all of that feeling into, like, we just think this guy is tacky.
Well, the Pete Rose thing, I mean, it, like, still being mad about it feels like an inherited opinion that you're just repeating. Mm-hmm. Just like, this is the way this is the assigned emotion you're supposed to repeat about him.
Even since so that, I think also, like, the funny thing, like, now, you know, I'm from Cincinnati, and it seems to me that, like, the further away Cincinnatians are from him being, like, a person that you would have anything to do with, like, there isn't really very much defensiveness of him anymore. Like, you still, I mean, the one of the, like, I think the baseball stadium is literally on Pete Rose Way, but that was named,
it is,
like,
yes,
that was named lit, like, in the 90s, but now it just seems like it's interesting. I mean, I was about to say the passage of time is wild, and it is, but, like, that's been a funny thing, because even the people who were super defensive of Pete Rose probably are, like, dead now. So everybody's kind of like, eh. This guy seems like a dick. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's the same, obviously, not the same degree. But it's the kind of thing where it's, like, people have kind of, like, even the people who were defensive of O.J. Simpson in, like, 1994, by now they're like, you know, probably not. Probably not.
They're starting to see some flaws.
Internet's a big place. I'm sure it's still out there. I'm sure there's still OJ truthers out there.
I
mean, he was arrested for a number of other things, so, like, you can bust him on anything at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I it is amusing to me that he went to prison for stealing his own memorabilia.
Stealing his own stuff.
Like, I am excited for anyone born after the year, I don't know, 2000, to listen to this and be like, who the fuck are all these people they're talking about? Who are Pete Rose and OJ Simpson?
Yeah.
What's happening on this college football podcast?
I'm teaching college students right now, and they're great, and the USC students are all very nice. They also, these are, like, students who do not pay that much attention to sports, and yet all of them had, like, a really hot takes on Alex Grinch, and I was like, good, good, good. You gotta have at least
what? Right.
If you know anything,
that's a matter, like, of local importance.
Yeah, and if you know anything, you know that, like, I think it's a good sign when the people who are like, I'm quadruple majoring in philosophy, art, computer science, and something insane are also like, fuck this defensive coordinator. I'm like, you get it.
Sure.
But it is interesting when I reference things that took place when I was in college, like from 2005 to 2009. And I'm being like, this thing that happened. And they look at me and I'm like,
yeah,
you weren't
rapidly approaching 20 years ago. Yes. Rapidly approaching.
Yeah. That difference, like, that hit quick. Like, it hit really quick, and I have not yet come back from it. I have not yet come back from the fact that I'm like, oh, we didn't, like, I think I made some joke about, like, you know, everyone had that, like, Crystal Castles LCD sound system period, and it turns out they didn't. Because they're children.
Yeah. Or the first time you hear Nelly on the classic rap station.
Oh, the every Spotify classic rap, it is, I saw, like, they had, like, D12 on that, and I was like, no, I'm sorry. Sure.
Yeah, I like old school rap, like Young Thug. Yeah, like, it moves way too fast.
That's been aggressive. Like, I would think that my main theory, I mean, I have a lot of theories about why people over the between the ages of like 52 and 70 have lost their minds completely. But I will say that when being 52 no longer means you're old, but it definitely no longer means you're young. Like if you watch a lot of Golden Girls and you look up how old they are and you're like, holy shit, everybody's talking about you like you're 90. But you also are, you know, you say things and people are like, ah, obviously you were a dad. That would be weird. That would be real weird. It's weird now.
It feels like what we have now is once you're 30, you're just the same age until you die.
Oh, yeah.
Like via the internet, you're aware of everything going on, but everyone in their 20s has this obsession that once you cross that line, you basically go, you disappear into the nether realm. You join the army of the dead.
But from that point on, I think there's one other dividing line, and that's okay. If you become a grandparent, then you are now that age until you die.
Okay, you're a grandparent aged. You're instantly 50.
Yes.
Which that gets weird for those of us sometimes from Midwestern or Southern environments in which people become grandparents when they're in their 40s. And then you're like, no, I'm hip and cool and I have a grandchild. And you're like, yes, but also no. Like, I'm so sorry, but you had a kid when you were 20 and then your kid had a kid when they were 18, 19. You are a grandparent now. Things are different. It's just different.
Shaq is 52.
Yeah. But
that's messed up. who let Shaq get 52?
No.
What good were you for if not to keep Shaq forever at, like, I don't know, a ripe 31?
No, sports age, that's like every ESPN chyron where they're talking about LeBron and Steph Curry and there's something about like old men out. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing he's still able to walk at the age of 35.
Like, come on. Like, I think I've said this before, but I do, like, LeBron finally retiring is I'm going to need to take a day off work. Like, that's going to be, I'm going to need a moment. Like, I know that, like, he's been playing at a high professional level since he was, like, 16, 17. Like, we can count high school and then going directly to the NBA. I'm aware that sports age is different. I follow gymnastics. I know that. But LeBron retiring is going to be the thing where I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, he is, he is 1.5 years older than I am, rough, like, just about. And I'm like, it's going to be rough. Like, it's nobody, like, that is the retirement I am not looking forward to. And apparently, neither is he.
It might not happen. It just might not. He might just continue indefinitely.
Yeah.
He might decide, I want to play in the same team as my grandkids as well. So we'll stick around for that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens.
I think that'd be fun.
Did we ever welcome the show?
No.
To the Shutdown Fullcast, where we're talking about age.
Where we're all very slowly dying. Mm-hmm. Hopefully slowly, at least.
I mean,
Charlie Ward played for the Knicks in LeBron's first game against them. In 2004.
Jesus.
Wow.
Charlie
Ward got the start and played 30 minutes.
Jesus 30 Christ. Minutes?
Yeah. Charlie, the starting lineup for the New York Knicks on November 10th, 2003. Allen Houston, Kurt Thomas, Keith Van Horn, Charlie Ward, and Dikembe Mutombo.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought that how people talk about the Iraq War made me feel old, but now that's it. On a side note, it's been interesting having been alive in like 2002, 2003 to see all of these people, specifically conservatives, be like, I was always against the Iraq War. And I'm like, no, you weren't. Stop lying.
You fucking weren't. You fucking weren't.
I was there. Fuck you, Freedom Fries. I remember.
Jane, there's also
It's important to self-mythologize for your own
apparently.
Benefit.
There's also the thing about, like, everyone is nostalgic for exactly 20 years earlier or exactly the age they were when they were 15 to 25.
Yeah.
So, like, as you've pointed out a lot, this results in culture warriors who are like, we have to go back
to 2010.
To the era of Limp Bizkit when America was great.
It's my favorite cultural phenomenon because when you have, like, obviously, like, trads on the internet have been doing the whole, like, 50s thing, and, like, you used to be able to blah, 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 blah. Like, you used to be able to, I don't know, lynch someone and get away with it. Whatever happened to those days? But, like, the people who are now, like, remember the simple, like, there's a conservative women's magazine called Evie, and they had this whole, like, multiple articles on, like, oh, do you remember the simple, the better movies, the kinder people of the early 2010s?
No, I sure don't.
Like, remember, you know, Obama's first term when people got along, when men were men and women were women.
When everyone
was no divisiveness.
When everyone said normal things about the president.
Yeah, uh-huh. Normal people all the time. But no, it's the people. Like, it's also interesting because I don't like. I like the music I listened to in high school, but that's because the music I listened to in high school was awesome and has held up. But, like, I am not at all nostalgic for if I said I was nostalgic for 2003, I would be like, no, that's serial killer behavior. Like, I don't like nostalgia in general, but especially nostalgia for, like, 1990s. Like, they're the weird, like, the, not boomers, but, like, the Gen Xers who were like, the 90s were awesome. And I'm like, oh, I'm God, sorry. Yeah. Did Columbine really do it for you? Was that just, like, super fun for you? Were you having a great time?
Like, it's like reappreciating old cultural products in a new light and, sure, wishing, like, certain fast food chains would bring back certain menu items and all that stuff. Yeah. But then there's, like, romanticizing the politics of the time. Like, I saw the fucking Olympics get bombed in my hometown by a guy who was mad about abortion. You're telling me everything was chill back then? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I mean,
then again, the people who romanticize
Oklahoma
that era probably
City
do
bombing.
Like that.
Like, I remember all of this stuff. Like, But
you could leave your doors unlocked, Jane. It was a different time. Uh-huh. Kids could play outside the street.
Yeah.
Tonight, a murder documentary about people who left their doors unlocked in the 90s.
I think that's my favorite part. It's like people who were like, oh, when I was like, even Nikki Haley did this. Like, do you remember when you were a kid and things were easy or something like that? I'm like, yeah, bitch, because I was 8. And that taxes.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking sweet to be 8. Gotta tell you.
I will say, though, when I was 8, I hated being 8. Like, my greatest dream, I was like, I want to be 12, because then you're basically an adult.
Oh, great.
Like, your perception of what being, when you're like a little kid, like 12 is like, I could drive. And 20 is like, I'll be dead by then. So it doesn't really matter. But nostalgia for things where I'm like, no. Like, YouTube has been recommending a lot of, like, 90s hip hop to me, which is great. But all of the comments are like, oh, I would love to go back. And it'll be like Tupac's Hit 'Em Up or something, like, simpler times.
Right. Yeah. When it was all about just the music and not the drama. But go back to the music. It's like, it's still fucking there. So just play it. You're playing it right now.
Spotify will serve it to you as many times as you want.
So what did you
remember
time?
When you had to do this off a tape? This sucked.
Yeah, it really. Yeah. Oh, taping stuff. The age that I actually really like being the age that I am now. I am 36. 36 seems good. And I've actually, there's some study that was like, generally people are like at 36, 37, they're like, things are pretty okay. I would say it's interesting because like I was pretty cool with being like my early 30s, except for the whole, you know, pandemic thing. That was uncool. Didn't enjoy that. That was bad. Not cool. But generally, since I got, like, around, like, 30, 31, 32, like, all, like, my 30s have been good. Like, I'm cool with 30s. And I have not yet, especially because I think that, because I don't have the nostalgia thing, like, there isn't, I mean, I think that that's, I don't know if we talked about this, Jason, but I think one of the best ways to prevent having excessive nostalgia is to have, like, a really shitty time in high school. And then,
that'll work,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, that really helps. It really, like, I do not long to return to 2002, 2003. I would not be a teenager if you paid me, like, billions of dollars. Like, actual, like, made-up amounts of money. Like, whenever people are like, oh, we could cure homelessness with just, no, no, like, we need that level of money. But, like, this age is working. It's good. I have, like, one gray hair. It's fine. I'm into it.
I think 30 is a really good. I think once you pass 30, it's just sort of like, oh, all the worrying about how old I am, it's just kind of, whatever. The only age that I look back on, it was like, wow, anyone who is that age should really appreciate it, is that, like, few months between high school and college when it's like you have enough money to get in trouble. No one really expects anything of you.
But you're still a kid. You're still,
you can still play
kid.
The, I'm just a little guy thing. Mm-hmm. And you're legally allowed to do almost everything. Like, that, those, like, 2 or 3 months, everyone should get to do that for, like, 10 years. And like, you know, everyone, in that moment, everyone should appreciate it. Because after that, it's all bills. But, yeah, 30 and onward is all just one big ocean of fine.
What's fucked up about the time you're describing, though, is that what makes it fun is that you don't appreciate it.
That's sort of like what makes it magical.
Is that you are not thinking about it in any broader perspective. You're just like, this rules.
Yeah, this will be my life forever. No.
Well, I didn't, like, I remember finding that, like, the most annoyed I've ever been for a sustained period of time is the summer between my freshman year of college and my sophomore year of college. Because when you come back from college, you immediately start acting like you were like, well, I'm a fully fledged adult now and I don't need any of you.
Hey, guess what, parents? I have some opinions I want to talk about.
hey, mom, let's talk philosophy.
I took poli sci 140, so let's talk about some iron triangles, bitch. Like, And I just remember being like, as you know, Michigan, it ends in April, then you come back in September, and I literally just sat around for like those 4 months just being like, I wanna, like, I would leave the house and my parents would be like, oh, where are you going? And I'm like, who are you?
You don't get to ask me that anymore.
I'm in charge. I'm the captain now. But the summer, like the summer you're describing, I think the thing about that is that, like, I remember people being, like, very maudlin. Like, you'd be at a party and someone would play that fucking Vitamin C graduation song. And everyone would be like, oh, our lives.
Green Day was ours at the time, but yeah.
Like, you know, our lives are ending as we know it. This will all be over. And now you're like, what? Like, who? Like, being maudlin when you're 17, like, unless you can become Morrissey, it's not going to work for you. But also, like, I know many people who are still pretty good friends with all of those same people that they went to high school with. And, like, it's fine. It's just, we did not need to spend as much time sitting on somebody else's roof, staring into the sunset, talking about how it's everything.
But it's about feelings.
Now.
It's about having huge, big feelings.
Yeah, there were big fucking feelings. There was that. That was for sure.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's different now because it's like, I'm going to be friends with these people on the internet.
You're in my phone. I mostly interact with you in my phone, and that's not leaving
me. Yeah, nothing will change at all.
Right.
Like, back then, there was the sense, you know, even into the early social media era where it's like, I am literally never going to see some of these people again. You don't think that at the time.
Yeah.
You know, you think just it'll be more difficult to, and like, no, kid, you literally will never see some of these people again.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yeah.
I think what trips me up about nostalgia, and this is a nonpartisan thing, but both political parties like to do the, like, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, right? And I'm like, I don't fucking remember. I like, I'm not trying to think about 4 years ago. I don't know how. All I know is that shit is done. I am not sitting here comparing, like, running the stats and seeing, like, how am I doing? No. We're just moving forward, baby. I cannot answer that question, and I am not interested in thinking about it that hard.
No,
frankly.
Especially like asking people.
If you ask me, like, how is the country? Sure, we can talk about that. How am I doing? Am I better than I was 4 years ago? I'm just trying to get to tomorrow. I need you to leave me alone.
No, that's also the thing. It's like, also making people think about themselves in that context is so fucked up. Especially, like, I remember seeing that during, the 2008 election, because I was in college for that. And people are like, oh, were you better off than you were in 2004? And I'm like, well, in 2004, I was in high school, and it fucking sucked. And now I'm in college, and I will say, it's going on. So
thank you, George W. Bush.
So much of this is like, you know, who do you want to credit with the passage of time in a way that worked out for you?
I had 4 years ago, I had terrible diarrhea. Today I don't. So I get so much better off.
Take the question extremely literally. On April 2nd, 2020, actually, I probably got fired 4 years ago today. So, so technically, I think I'm doing better.
Thanks, Joe Biden. Like, but yeah, it's weird. The passage of time is weird. I think that's basically it. I mean, especially also, I mean, relating back to college football, when you start doing the, cause I'm already deep in the, this guy was a problem YouTube. It happened real quick. It's just funny when it's a player.
Give me a recent example that you've experienced through this.
Well, I think basically if you played at West Virginia between 2006 and 2013, there's a whole section of the internet that's about how you were a problem.
Steve Slayton was a problem.
I know Pat White was a problem. I was there. Like, but it's also like you start getting people. Now I understand that there are a lot of people who have who memory hold like specific how people did in the NFL or memory hold thing. They're like, did you know like Colt McCoy was really good? And like, yeah, yeah, I knew that Sam Bradford was good. Yeah, I heard that it did take place. Like it's like I mean I know recency bias and all that stuff, but it is just like. Like, I need this guy was a problem people to be people who played in, like, 1994. Like, I need them to be
like
people.
Barry Sanders was a problem?
Yeah. Like, I need, like, X was a problem to be someone who I am older than. You can't be a problem if you're younger than me. I'm so sorry.
So once remember some guys are guys who were like, wait a second, I was in college at the same time as those guys. You can't remember them yet.
No,
some boys.
You cannot remember those children. Like,
stop remembering my peers.
No, like we got like occasionally there'll be on YouTube or whatever. The people are like, well, they got like Denard Robinson. I'm like, no. You cannot remember a youth. You cannot remember a beloved child who I am older than. We are not. No, we're not remembering these boys. I don't want to remember the boys. I want to remember these guys.
This podcast probably has listeners that are younger than this podcast. How about that?
No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
We've only been doing this for like, you think there's an 8-year-old listening to this?
We've been doing this for almost 11 years.
If you're 8 years old and listening to this, it gets better. I'm just saying, I know being 8
if
is
you're
rough.
8-year-olds and listening to this, talk to a teacher. Get out. You don't have to be part of this anymore.
I'm saying there's somebody who like listens along with their parents.
Yeah.
And we've heard about this. Yes. There's kids who listen along with their parents and they're like, ha ha ha. You know, they get some of the jokes and they're like, I like when Spencer says the whatever. Like we hear that kids engage with it and I count that.
But I hope there's not some 7-year-old who's just like, oh, I'm going to fire up the full cast, see what they're up to.
No. Kids don't know what podcasts are. Like, unless someone is cutting us up and putting us on Snapchat or TikTok, they have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. No, we got to get that Bluey crossover. I do have Bluey thoughts.
Why do you have Bluey thoughts? Oh, I know why you have Bluey thoughts. It's because of your connection to the geographical area. That's
well,
why.
Also, once you get an Australian cattle dog, you got a lot of thoughts on what blue heelers get up to. Now, let me just say, they were a surprisingly inactive family for all being blue heelers. Like, an actual family of blue heelers would just be, like, searching around looking
constantly
sprinting around in circles looking for jobs.
Sounds like working in digital media, frankly, so.
Hey-o.
Also, another funny thing is I just said Snapchat's still for young people, and someone out there is going to be like, ha-ha, Jason's so old, he doesn't know that. I have a high school teenager right now. I know a little bit more about this than you do. The kids still use Snapchat.
Yeah, but also you have a high school teenager
right
now.
Sorry, I just had to drop that because I know.
Yeah, but occasionally, you were about to do like, you're the father of a teen. Like, I don't think you get that information through osmosis.
No.
What's the most average age to be?
48. 48 is the most average age.
48 seems average.
Yeah.
But I also think like, I was thinking about it. Like, I think that after about 35, you don't really need to do a birthday every year. Like, I'll be turning 37 this year. It's 30. Who cares about 37?
Too bad. Oh, too bad. That. We're throwing your birthday.
Oh, it's
we're
time for Jane's birthday celebration.
Happy birthday. No, fuck that.
There are fewer and fewer reasons to celebrate the older that you get, and you should take all the chances that you get.
I mean, obviously, I love a holiday that is devoted
there
to
should
me.
Always, there should always is. Be part. No.
No, what if we call it a St. Jane feast? What if we make it all Catholic?
Celebrate their birthdays are the worst fucking people.
I regret that the actual St. Jane, super boring, because I had to choose like a namesake saint, and St. Jane is like she founded a convent, so that's why I went with Joan of Arc, who you can make a lot of arguments, but incredibly metal. Also like a pretty good military strategist. Got screwed over by the French government. Homest among us. But it was a good time.
Got killed for being too good at fashion.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
I also appreciate that she was another case in which God was like real specific. Like she was like, God would like us to do like in Salt Lake City, all of our roads are really wide because Brigham Young had a dream and apparently God was like, this is how wide the roads need to be. And when Joan of Arc heard from God, God apparently had really specific ideas about how military strategy, which I'm like, why wouldn't God be into both urban planning and military strategy?
God has a lot of logistics thoughts, like exactly
really
how big
does.
A boat should be, like exactly how
like
big
tent
the,
width.
The tailgate tent. Yeah.
He's got a lot of thoughts. I appreciate that about the Lord.
That's how you know he's a dad.
That's true.
Mm.
The ultimate war dad.
Or a mom with a very extensive list of detailed errands.
I'm using dad in a non-gendered sense.
Sure. A female dad, perhaps. But I'm just thinking of like when
everybody
my wife sends me
dad.
On an errand, and it's like, unless I get a list that's like, stand in this spot, point at this person, say these words, it's going to get fucked up, no matter how hard I try. It's not about that. It's just about like in that situation, she's playing the role of God, and she has to hand me a very detailed list of instructions.
Yeah, but then when you get to the place, do all the people like reject your instructions and then invent some involved reason why they produced a golden calf instead?
So what happens is usually it ends up being like three dudes who are like, hey, our wives sent us. And then the dude who works there is like, okay, I'm the guy whose job it is to fix the idiot husbands. And then we all go out back and we melt down a gold cow. And that is a political metaphor.
Yep. Weaponized incompetence. Ugh, you
a
love
political
to see
metaphor
it.
That applies all the time.
It does. What
did y'all want to talk about the history idiots bracket?
Yes. I'm very proud of that bracket. That was some good history dumb bitches to be coming up with. It really like the I like the matchups that we're seeing right now. I am also just impressed by the fact that we were able to limit the number of dumb bitches because I have thought people have come to me out of the clear blue sky where I've been like, wow, that's a dumb bitch we didn't include.
So who's an on the bubble bitch then?
John Calhoun. Like that is that's a strong bubble bitch. I also think like I'm aware that it kind of goes against the entire theory of it, but like if we ever do it again, I would like to have a like non-gendered dumb bitches because there are a couple of dumb bitches where I'm like Joe and Lai, dumb bitch, part of the Gang of Four who just her whole thing was she wanted lots of people to die and she wanted to see Maoist ballets and those were her two things. She had two dreams.
It's relatable. And, I think that's relatable.
Whomst among us, but I've been very much enjoying the dumb bitch bracket. Lots of people who want really specific thoughts on Eric Ludendorff, and all of mine are just like, fuck that guy.
I recommended one to Spencer that did not make the cut, but I think, seeing who was on the list, I'm fine with that, but I recommended Dr. Willard Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
I say Dr.
Because his name was Dr.
His name was Dr. This was this is who treated President Garfield.
Murdered. Murdered President Garfield.
Well, yeah, who murdered President Garfield after he was shot, and 2.5 months later basically died of sepsis.
Yeah, it's funny because Garfield was shot by a man who was insane and wanted a job. Like, it's interesting because I, like, there used to be assassins who didn't have, like, big political reasoning. There just used to be, like, just crazy people. Like, Squeaky Frome trying to kill Gerald Ford for, like, who knows why. Also, two people tried to kill Gerald Ford, and neither of them were very good at it. Like, Gerald Ford apparently just made people very upset. But
the unkillable Gerald Ford!
It doesn't seem worth the effort.
That's a Michigan man right there. Not worth the effort.
I got a good feeling
full
about
of murder.
I got a good feeling about Mussolini in this tournament.
Yeah. No, I think I'm excited to see where everybody goes. I do appreciate that we have a good combination of, like, you know, well-known dumb bitches who murdered millions of people and also just, like, shitty people who did shitty things. But I do think Dr. Willard Bliss, like, the degree to which he took his dirty, like, James Garfield shot by an insane guy who wanted a job. Mm-hmm. And then Willard Bliss is like, you know what this situation needs? My dirty ass hands in this man's bullet wound. A bullet wound that,
Jane,
like,
let me ask
probably
a question.
Would have been fine.
Was Dr. Willard Bliss the president's regular physician at the time?
If I recall correctly, he was not.
He was not. He just showed up, decided this is how I'm not. It wasn't just like, this is how I will get famous. It was specifically, this is how I will restore my good name in the medical community.
Yep. The only good thing that came out of all of this is that is why the White House has air conditioning, because they decided that the miasmas of grossness that existed were bad for James Garfield and arguably bad for everybody, and that air conditioning would help. And honestly, I hope, as James Garfield died horribly because he was basically poisoned by a man named Dr. Willard Bliss, I hope he was like, at least I'm cool. I hope that helped.